You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
You got a guy throwing a no-hitter. You got a four-run lead.
And shortly a base hit. That'll score Gary Sanchez. RBI single for Torres. It's 4-0 Yankees.
The fan base is going to feel totally different about this team, and this team is going to feel totally different about themselves after they get this split. Gain another game on the Red Sox.
Here's the throw, and he is safe at home, and the Red Sox lead it 5-4.
To these guys' credit, they continue to get off the mat time and time again, and we'll do it again.
If you're Cashman or the powers to be, you're like, man, is this guy over his head?
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yankee fans don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it's another gut punch, but we'll get off the mat. We've faced adversity before. We're going to do it again. They're tired of facing adversity. They want to see this team turn the corner, and I certainly understand that. DCR, 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. It's Bob Wischusen and Willie Colon
Good morning. For
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. We got up early at 5, and we're already getting Yankee calls at the time. We can get some more in now at 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. We look small picture, we looked big picture, neither very good for the Yankees. But again, let's look small, kind of like, you know, micromanage what happened yesterday, Willie, to start off this hour. And if you want to give us a call, please do. If you're a Yankee fan, you want to vent. If you're a Met fan, you want to make a trade, you could certainly give us a call as well. And we're going to get to some Jets and Giants later on this hour at 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. I thought micromanaging yesterday's game. Domingo Germán with the no-hitter gives up the leadoff double to begin the eighth inning. Had no problem with him coming out of the game. The rest of that inning, to me, though, needed to be managed like it was Game 7 of the World Series by Aaron Boone, and it was not. He left Jonathan Weisiger in there one hitter too long. He did not bring the infield in a big spot where he was saying with no outs, I wasn't sure if we wanted to go all or nothing. The Yankees have arrived at the all or nothing moment, turning point of their season. David Cone sensed this, and you could tell when he was talking about how important he thought this win could be for this team in the sixth inning. He said, you're getting Aaron Judge back. The COVID guys are returning. The way you lost on Thursday and Friday, but the inspirational win on Saturday. This team, this fan base will feel completely different about each other after you get, and about this season, after you get this win today. He sensed this could be a crucible moment for the Yankees and their fan base to give up the eighth inning the way they did and to have the manager play the part in it that he did. Man, I don't know. The manager needed to sense that moment and manage like it was Game 7 as well, and he did not.
I think you said it. It has to come to a point right now where Boone, these type of incidents, these type of situations can't just happen. They need to figure out why they are happening. What's going on with Aaron Boone right now, where he's not feeling the sense of the urgency? Why, where he doesn't feel like, to your point, like this is, I got to make a move. Something has to happen. I have to save this game by myself by a decision I need to make to help this team move forward. The fact that David Cone can feel it in the booth, and then, you know, Aaron Boone didn't feel it, is a disconnect. And what is that disconnect? And why is it happening now? When, like, to your point, it's all or nothing. Either we sell out and we go for it or not. And it's tough, man, because you figure Germán having one of the best starts of his career, throwing 7-plus innings, no-hitter, looking absolutely flawless, and to give that type of game up is brutal. It was a meltdown that even next year, you're going to remember. Like, these are the type of games that you're going to be sitting at a porch, drinking iced tea, and you're like, oh, remember that game the Yankees blew when they could have turned it around? These type of losses stick with you.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And now, as you move towards the trade deadline, three games coming up against the Rays, where will the Yankees be at the end of the week? They're only 3.5 out of the wild card spot. So as brutal as that loss was yesterday, to drop 3 of 4 to the Red Sox, to be 9 out in the AL East. The AL East is gone. I mean, no one could possibly think that this team's going to flip a switch and go catch the Red Sox, especially with the Rays and the Blue Jays in between. Having said that, though, 3.5 out of a wild card spot, there's all the reason in the world to think that they could still push a button, get a player, and make a run. Are they going to be given by ownership the ability to go do that? I think they should be. Is Brian Cashman going to be trusted to make the right move?
Well, I think right now you have to trust Cashman right now because he's all you have. And I think thus far he's done I've always been a fan of him. I've always supported every move he's made for this ball club. Obviously, they're floored. Obviously, you know, they're starting to, you know, all their mishaps are starting to show. But I think you got to trust Cashman, man. I don't see if there's one. I think his job security is, I don't think it's an issue at all. But I think right now you got to trust that whatever move he makes going forward is going to be what's the best move for the Yankees. And that's where I'm at with it. I don't see a need to panic right now, but I do think there has to be some type of move that's going to put this team in a direction where they can be successful, either for not even, you know, not this year, but obviously next year.
800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Let's get some telephone calls in. Nick in Fresh Meadows starts us off this hour. 98.7 ESPN, Bob Wischusen, Willie Colon in for DCR. Hello, Nick.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you guys doing today?
Hey.
Good.
All right, so I just got, like, 2 points to say. One of them, I don't know why you're saying Yankee fans are shuffling and everything, but I would like to say that for the future of my team, our team did really good against the number one team in the AL East, even though two or three of our top players aren't even in the lineup. The two rookie guys were phenomenal this weekend against the Red Sox. I don't know if you guys think so.
Which two rookie guys are you talking about? Allen?
Yeah, Allen did really good this week. In the past, seven games he's been playing really well. I think he's been doing a lot better than Florial, in my opinion. And we could even trade Florial to get someone better. And I think that once Judge and Urshela come back, those are two big bats that we need. And I really think that the Rays have been going down a lot lately, and the Yankees can catch the wild card. And I think with a full Yankees roster, we can even beat the Red Sox in the playoffs. I don't know what you guys think.
A little optimism on this Monday. I like it, Bob. Why not?
Yeah, I have no idea where that optimism comes from. Right? Like when they had Gio Urshela and
believes.
They had – I mean, Aaron Judge was playing like the really true only franchise player on this team. And what was their record when Aaron Judge went down?
Yeah, I mean,
they've tread water. That's all they've done. Now, granted, with – you know, when you've got, you know, Greg Allen, Estevan Florial, Lamar, I mean, you know, you are basically kind of patching together the back end of your roster. Treading water is probably all you could have hoped for over the past week and a half. And they're going to have to continue to try and tread water against Tampa Bay. They'll get Aaron Judge back. That's a shot in the arm. Tampa Bay's 20 games over .500. Yankees are 4 games over .500. Why do you think they're going to go catch Tampa Bay? They're not going to go catch Tampa Bay. What you're hoping is the back end wild card spot. You are hoping the third, the second wild card, and you're hoping that you can, you know, I think maybe inject a little life into this team with a big trade at the deadline. I would think a Yankee fan should hope for that.
That's a lot of hope.
But why you think Gio Urshela, I mean, we've seen this team with Gio Urshela and Aaron Judge. For 90 games we saw it. And they're basically three games over .500, that version of the Yankees. Why do you think Aaron Judge is going to come back and all of a sudden that's going to be the flip switch? Aaron Judge was great before he got COVID.
Well, he believes in something. I mean, where do you go, though, Bob? I mean, you gotta put your foot down somewhere. You got to have some form of hope. Maybe that's it for him. He feels like Judge is going to be the spark we need.
I agree, but I think at the trade deadline, that's why I said you have to be one or the other. You cannot try and middle this and stay pat and just hope it gets better. Either you make up your mind, this is not working, and we need to retool for 2022, and maybe you sell off a couple of pieces, although Aaron Judge would not be what I would sell off, or you need to say, you know what, this team still can make something happen, but they need a shot in the arm, and as the general manager at the trade deadline, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to trade some pieces, and I'm going to give them a shot in the arm.
What question do you – what? Let's just say the season ends tomorrow. How do you feel about Boone going forward?
If he gets fired, he's a sacrificial lamb.
Really? Like,
this is a poorly constructed team and has been all season. There's no left-handed power. At Yankee Stadium, to not have any left-handed power is crazy. They are a station-to-station, slow-plotting team that sits around waiting for a three-run home run. And if that three-run home run doesn't come, they only have one way to score, and then they're done.
Right.
So to me, like you have to think about retooling how this whole roster, I think, philosophically is put together. But even having said all of that, they're still right there for a possible wild card. And one move, if you get a Javi Baez or you get a Trevor Story, you switch around your infield, you get a high on-base percentage, spray the ball around, you know, tough guy to shift against type player, I think that move alone could be enough to spark something in this lineup with all of the ability that they have in this lineup.
It's going to be interesting. I think right now, I think Yankees fans just want something to happen. I think they've suffered enough tough losses. You talk about how they got beat up by the Angels. You talk about getting beat up by the Mets. And now, losing a tough one to the Red Sox yesterday. I think enough end of the game gut punches, enough of those type of rhetorics. I think all that's over with. I think they're ready for Friday to happen and something to happen positive. I think it's at this point right now, if you're a Yankee fan, you're either still riding with this team or you got off the train. But whatever happens Friday, it has to be in best interest of this ball club going forward, because if not, like I said earlier, these type of losses and where the Yankees are right now is threatening the brand and the philosophy of the team. And if you're saying it's not Boone's fault, then who does it fall on? There's just, you know, because analytics are just analytics. Guys got to go out and play and execute. And so what's going to happen for moving forward?
Well, having said that, even though I think Aaron Boone would be a sacrificial lamb if they let him go, he did not have a good game yesterday. He did not have a good eighth inning. He had a couple of mistakes that were glaring, and I think he even second-guessed himself after the game was over. To me, Loaisiga staying in there to face a fourth batter after he gave up three straight hits, including two line drives to the bottom of the order. He cannot be out there against Kike Hernandez. And, you know, you got to manage that game like it's game seven. He did not do that. It certainly hurt them, and they suffered about as – like if it's possible for a team to have its best win of the season followed
Saturday,
up by
yeah.
its worst loss of the season on back-to-back days, the Yankees found a way to do that this weekend.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
When Dave Rothenberg Love really Burnham. Becomes Dave Rothenberg, they should just play music like that, low and slow, beneath his rants. You know what I mean? Just to kind of give it like a smooth, mellow coffee feel in the morning. Because
right.
as football, I don't know. Like, to me, there almost has to be a Canty DiPietro training camp to get ready to work with Dave Rothenberg during football season.
Rothenberg's a lot, man. I've known Dave for a long time, man. Yeah. He comes in here, he's fired up. He's
a lot. Come on!
He's like, you know, especially when you start talking to them Giants, he starts sweating. I know he's lost a lot of weight, so now he's, you know, he starts.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Yeah.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
He can't hold on.
I think what you said is, I think saying Rothenberg's a lot. I think that's
it's
a perfect
hot.
Way to sum him up. Yeah, he is a lot. All right.
Means well.
800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. We'll get to the football in a sec, but let's talk to Stephen Chappaqua, who joins us next here on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good job, guys, filling in.
Thanks.
In terms of the Yankees, we recognize the subpar offense this year. Not scoring runs, and everyone's hitting below 200, whatever. However, to me, the problem has been post-seventh inning. There was a time when the Yankee bullpen, if you hit the seventh inning with a lead, forget about a multi-run lead, it was in the win column. That is no longer the case. If you take the last five, those big major meltdowns, the Angels, the Mets, the Astros, the Red Sox two times, you win those games, they're 13 games over 500. The problem is the post seventh inning meltdown of the bullpen, and especially with multi-run leads, that's the problem. They've been managing to score enough runs to get lead, have leads in late in the game, and they'd be in pretty good shape.
The most frustrating part to me about yesterday was the guy that you have been able to most consistently depend upon out of the bullpen.
Come on, yeah.
Was the guy that gave up the three hits and then the fourth hit that triggered the whole thing in the eighth inning. Like, Loaizaga should be the guy that Aaron Boone can say, all right, I'm going to my best here. He has been my most consistent guy. Now, to me, that does not excuse giving up the first three hits and then leaving him in there for the fourth hitter to face Kike Hernandez. Remember, there's a three-hitter minimum. Inside the body of an inning, a reliever has to face a minimum of three batters in the same inning before you could take him out. So he couldn't take him out until he gave up the third hit. Once he gave up the third hit, to me, managing that game like it's Game 7 of the World Series, you go get him then. That's what I would have done.
I don't know because I think part of me, when I look at you look at Jonathan when they're able to throw him out there, how much is it like, do you fault Boone for just believing in a guy? You know what I mean? I understand the circumstances. I understand the position he was in. But what's wrong with just believing in a guy that he's going to pull you out of that?
I think when you are where the Red Sox are, when you've got a 9-game lead, or even if you're Tampa, you've got a 4.5-game lead in the wild card race, you are most likely, if not almost assuredly, going to be a playoff team. All right, let me test this guy's mettle. Let me let him try to work his...
He can get you out of it.
Yeah, no, but when you see him give up, you know, two line drives yesterday, and again, we talked about what David Cone was saying on Yes in the sixth inning, that this is maybe one of those turning point moments in a season. You can sense it. Here comes Aaron Judge. The COVID guys are coming back.
I think the relationship is different too, right? Like, that's David Cone sitting in the booth, digesting the game, watching it from all different levels. I think Boone being in the locker room, understanding it, it's... Yeah, you're sitting here saying, all right, from a manager standpoint, how does he not understand you got to go hard here? This is where you got to make a pivotal move to save this game. But from a relationship standpoint, from believing in a guy, especially coming off the COVID list, he's worried about the guy's confidence. He's worried about the guy being able to trust the guy again. I think it's a little more complex than saying, hey, how do you not understand the sense of the moment? And then I think Boone, I'm backing Boone because I'm saying, like, he's my guy, right? To your point, he went to somebody who he's trusted to get him out of certain situations. So I don't fault him from hanging in there and kind of riding with him. I think that's just the nature of that relationship that he has with Loaizaga. So I'm on the fence with that, man. I don't fault Boone for trusting his guy and believing his guy's going to get him out of it.
I agree with you that I think something in sports, when we as non-athletes, as the media, as callers to shows, that, you know, screaming, sit that guy down, bench him, he stinks. But what we don't realize, and you obviously do because you were in that chair, you are a professional athlete, you know that these guys are, it's not Strat-O-Matic, right? Like, it's not fantasy baseball where I go on a website, uncheck one box, check another, right, and put a guy in. You're right that Aaron Boone has to look these guys in the eye as human beings and have that relationship and have that trust and you're right, and make that move and understand that there's going to be maybe a personal cost to benching a guy, basically sending the message, I don't think you're that good right now. So we probably underplay that. But to me, we're past that point with the Yankees this year where feelings have to be thought about. Like, right, like, my facts trump your feelings. To me, that's where I... Like,
well, I think part of
if you
happens-
got a 9-game lead, if you're the Red Sox, you've got the cushion. You can leave your guy out there, and if you lose a game, you lose a game. Maybe I lose the battle, but I win the war because I'm going to show you I trust you. The cushion that the Yankees have to have that kind of manager trust his guy, that's gone. That it's over. Like, they need wins.
Yeah, but I also believe... If you don't trust a guy in that situation and it goes left like it did, then it's almost like you're giving up on the season, right? Like, you're just such in a manic and panic mode to make something happen, and it doesn't happen. It's like, well, you should have just believed in me. I've done it for you before. Why? What changed now that in in this situation that you couldn't rely on me. Valid, it didn't work out 100%.
Yeah.
But sometimes I believe as a player, man, that player to coach relationship is intimate from a standpoint because once, well, let me push back here. If I'm a player and I feel like in the most crucial situation, I was pulled out of that for whatever reason, it's hard to go back in that locker room and look at that coach in the eye and say, hey, go back to me again. I can do it. Because you've already broken that, right? Like, you've already broken that kind of that relationship, that sense of the spotlight, man. Even when the walls are falling down, he still stayed with me. Even though I wasn't successful, I still know I have his trust. When that's broken, man, that's tough to go back to. And then a guy, as a ball player, you start questioning yourself. You start questioning, like, man, what did I do for him to pull me out? Because you always want to feel like your coach or your whatever your position you're in, the guy that's kind of making the decisions is going to go down with you. He's going to ride with you.
I guess what I would say is I'd be bringing, you know, Jonathan Loaisiga back to the video room and pop on the three at-bats to start off that inning, and I'm showing him, you know, like belt-high, middle-of-the-plate fastballs that are being knocked off the Green Monster and saying, like, can't there just be, today you didn't have it. I'm going back to you in a couple of days. Today, this was not your day. And you got to understand how important this game was to us. David Cone from the booth understood how important this game was to the Yankees. You have to understand, and this is that conversation, that trust, right, a manager has to be able to have with a player. Today wasn't your day. Doesn't mean 2 days from now it's not going to be your day. And trust me, 2 days from now, we're protecting a lead, seventh inning, eighth inning. Jonathan, I'm coming back to you.
Yep.
You will be back out there.
Okay.
But today was not your day. And I needed to react to how important this game was for us to win. I can't let you work out the kinks or maybe prove that the first three guys that got hits off of you weren't showing me that it wasn't your day. Now by the time I finally pull you out, we're going to lose the game. And we're losing a game that we can't lose. The Yankees, you know, and look, in a 162-game season, it's hard to say there's a game you can't lose. But it felt like yesterday, if there was ever a game that you can't lose, it's that one. You got a no-hitter in the eighth inning. You got a four-run lead. The way you lost the first two games, again, David Cohn sensed it. This could flip the switch on a whole season if you come back and split this series and win the way you're about to win. And then have that inning come apart? And also because, and you could have done something about it and didn't?
And it's tough, too, This is a blemish on Boone's resume, if you will, right? You go back to this game, that not making a decision, kind of staying too long with Loaisiga. But it's also tough because he's just doing what he felt in his heart was the right thing to do. He's trusting his guy. He's believing in his process and in his ability to get him out of there. So it's rough, man. I feel bad for Boone, but, you know, I think that's where he kind of falls on the wrong side of things, because part of him being a former ball player has that connection, that loyalty to the guys in that locker room. Outside of wearing that the skipper hat and wearing the manager's hat, there's a part of him that is a ball player who's never going to give up on his teammate, who's never going to ride with a guy when he's down, and who believes he's going to get himself out of any rut that he put himself in. So it's a tough position to be in.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
And by the way, the 98.7 ESPN Beach Bash is back. If there was ever a sign that hopefully we're trying to get back to normal, and it's the guys at Bar A. Friday, August 20th, Bar A in Lake Como in New Jersey becomes Bar K. So make your plans to head down the shore near Belmar. Join the Michael Kay Show live from 2 to 6:30 p.m. Special musical guest, the Pat Roddy Band, appearance by Willie Wilson. Tune in to the Kay Show tomorrow for two chances to score VIP access. It's all brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, Samwell Pain Management, Rutgers Football, Calandra's Bakery, and Yingling Flight. You must be at least 21 years of age to enter. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Let's get to the phones. Omar and Carteret has been very patient, joins us next here on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Omar.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Thank y'all. Y'all doing an awesome job this morning.
Thanks.
And my point is, it's hard as a Yankees fan, but I get it. You know, not every year you're going to be a championship caliber team, but some of the decision-making has been a little difficult to swallow. Excuse me. like yesterday. They honestly, Esteban Florial, he's your chess ranked prospect. He was your number one prospect. I think he should be playing. He started off the rally the game on Saturday. Boom, he's too, I don't know, he's too predictable. Like, what's wrong with having two pitchers warming up at the bullpen at the same time? If you look, it always seems like there's just one pitcher warming up. And I don't know, it just hasn't felt this year that the Yankees are the team, you know, to beat. And that's okay, I get it. But maybe they should try to retool. Because let's say they do catch Oakland for the second wild card spot. You still might have to play Tampa. You haven't proved that you could beat Tampa. You proved that you haven't beaten Boston. So I just think they need just to go back into the think tank, look at some decisions, and just, you know, they're trying to keep under the luxury tax. They didn't trade for Adam Frazier. San Diego didn't give all that much for him. I mean, they gave up a couple of good prospects. So if that's their way of thinking, then just, you know, see what you got in the farm system. Play it out. You know, don't make too many crazy moves that you're going to end up regretting later on down the road, like the Giancarlo Stanton contract.
Oof.
And, you know, just kind of see what you got to and start over fresh next year. And I know a lot of people may not agree with that, but if they do make the wild card, do you really feel confident about playing either Houston or Tampa or Boston?
No. Not right now. How could you possibly?
Yeah.
But I mean, get there first.
That's
the job one is to get there.
Right. Get there and do something.
Yeah, I mean, like, to me, like, the focus right now can't be, hey, when we're the wild card, are we going to be able to compete with Tampa?
Yeah,
or if we get a chance to face Boston, will we beat the Red Sox, the playoffs? Get there. Figure out a way to get there. And to me, part of getting there is a trade deadline shot in the arm. You know, in this world of COVID vaccines we're living in, pun intended, like, they need a shot in the arm. They need an injection of talent. And I think, you know, maybe if they can go out and get one of those shortstops and then put Gleyber Torres back at his more normal position, that would be where I would go. But, you know, starting pitcher, obviously, is possible as well. Do they have the ammunition to go and make a move like that? That's also a fair question. But, this team needs, like, a roster change chemistry-wise. They need, you know, a more versatile weapon offensively to be in the middle of all these guys just sitting there trying to hit a home run.
Bob, let me ask you this. In the year that the Yankees have had, and we're approaching Friday, the last week of July, summer's not over, damn it, we're still here. Who's been the most disappointing Yankee this season?
In spite of the fact that, you know, he's probably going to end up with about 25 home runs and in the neighborhood of, like, upper 80s, 90 RBIs, I think Stanton.
Really?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I think he right now looks like a clueless kind of black hole right in the middle of their lineup. I mean, he has non-competitive at-bats where it looks like he has taken swings, where he is just predetermining. I don't care where this pitch is thrown.
I'm swinging.
The thing could bounce 5 feet in front of home plate. I'm swinging. And he is in that, like, dark hole right now, the tall weeds, where it's hard to envision him coming out of it. Now, a player of his talent, I mean, look at the back of his baseball card. How is he going to go the next 60 games and at some point not have some kind of a hot streak and start to hit again? I just can't believe that. But as much of a roller coaster as Gary Sanchez has been the past several seasons, he had a stretch this year where at least it looked like he was coming back to be Gary Sanchez again.
The Kraken.
You know, I know that LeMahieu has been, you know,
spotty.
A shell of what he was. Look, there are other examples of guys that have,
Torres.
I mean, really, everybody outside of Aaron Judge has had a time this year where they've let this team down. But to me, if I had to pick one guy to be Stanton.
You bring back Gardner?
No. Or if you bring him back, he can't be an everyday player. See, that's why if you can go out and get a center fielder as well, he can't. I love everything about him from an intangible standpoint, off the bench, defensive replacement, pinch hitter, whatever. If he's hit like all years 180, you can't have that in your outfield as an everyday player when they need some on-base percentage guys in front of the guys that are supposed to come up. You can't hit a three-run home run if nobody's on base.
Yeah.
So, anyway, 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. We can get a few more telephone calls in about the Yankees if you want to give us a call. Bob Wischusen and Willie Colon in for DCR. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. All right, we promised it. I want your football predictions because we have not talked about the Giants at all. And, you know, training camp opening this week, the Jets obviously were such a circus last year as a two-win team, more of the soap opera, and probably have drawn more of that attention. But the Giants, man, getting Saquon Barkley back, adding Galladay, you know, Kadarius Toney and the draft, like they seem to me like a team that if Saquon Barkley at some point this season comes back and is even 80% of what he was before he got hurt, they could have the kind of skill position talent around Daniel Jones to let Daniel Jones do what it seems like we all want quarterbacks to do now, and that is take the Herculean step forward in year three.
Which is not
how much
fair.
Pressure is on Daniel Jones to do that this year, and have the Giants done enough to position him to be able to do that this year?
It's not fair because I think you look at what Josh Allen did with Buffalo, right? And everybody's like, boom, that's it. That's the market. That's what we need to see. There's a lot of things that come into play. What's going on with Saquon? Can Kenny Galladay really fall into this offense and be a factor? Joe Judge, where is he at from a trust standpoint? Because I think right now, Daniel Jones right now, I like him, but we just need more consistency out of him. We need more to see him be more of that, be able to put the cape on, especially when the team is struggling defensively. And so I think he just needs a little bit more time, man. I think this offensive line is coming together. I think so much was dependent on this team from an external standpoint when they suffered the losses they did last year. Going into this season, they're still trying to figure out who they want to be and who they need to be. And valid, they're playing in a division where, you know, Dallas is dealing with Dak. Who's Dak going to be? What type of team Dallas is going to be? Redskins got Fitzpatrick. The Eagles. So I think everybody's kind of in that turnover situation. So now it puts the pressure on Daniel Jones to be a better football player now because he's the most consistent one at his position. So I think Daniel Jones is going to be I think he's going to have a damn good season. But I think a lot of pieces have to work for him to be the guy they need him to be.
Yeah, it's funny you said that. Not fair to judge him in year three and hold him to like the Josh Allen stamp, standard.
Yep.
I had Mike Tannenbaum on a couple of weeks ago when I was filling in for Barton Hahn, and I asked him like why it is and how we've gotten to the point now where we used to view quarterbacks so much more from a developmental standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like guys would come into the NFL and sit for a year or two, not even if they were a top draft choice, not even see the field, learn, practice, you know, adapt to the NFL game. And then now, if a guy gets drafted in the top, you know, half of the first round, certainly the top 10, even the top 15, they play.
Yeah.
No matter what line of BS the team feeds you about, oh, we're going to put, you know, number 50 on Mac Jones. Get out of it. Mac Jones is playing this year. Don't kid yourself. At some point, he's going to be the Patriots quarterback.
Yep.
We know that. So why have we now gotten to the point, do you think, where we want such immediate results from the hardest position arguably to play in sports, where we used to give these guys some time to develop? We just don't do that anymore.
Well, I think it's a situation where we're so bloodlust for scores, right? We're so bloodlust for the big action. You're talking about what a guy like Aaron Rodgers means with Aaron Rodgers on the field. He brings a calm to the offense that most quarterbacks can't do, right? It'll be safe to say, Bob, there's one of four or five elite quarterbacks, right? When they put their feet in cleats and they walk on the field, there's a calm. There's an instant calm on both sides of the football. That's what you want a guy year three to have, some type of presence when he steps on the field. There's not this frantic. There's a direction. There's a orchestration that's going on. That's what the organization needs to see. And so when you see a guy like Daniel Jones, can he bring that? Can he be that guy when the hell's on your heels? He can be that calm because you're going to need it. especially midway through the season. You talk about this season last week, 6-10 they finished. So it's you're going to have somebody who's going to up this team, bring the calm, bring some type of direction, and take that step in the direction where, like, can I trust this guy for the future going forward? Hopefully he can do it.
So what's success for the Giants this year? 17-game season.
Yep.
You know, I mean, a team that last year, as you know, as much as the Jets were brutal and non-competitive during the season, the Giants weren't that much better. So what does a Giant fan have a right to expect this season?
Oof. That's a good question. 7-9? 7-9? Is that
7-10? As weird as that is to say.
Yeah, excuse me. 7-10? Is that fair? I think the defense is going to be a lot better. Yeah, I could see a 7-10 season.
Is 7-10 good enough? I mean, I guess it's hard to say that in a vacuum. You have to see, like, what you have to, they have to pass the eye test, right? Like,
yeah.
I was saying this to somebody the other day. You know, 17-game season, how many games should the Jets win? I said, really, I'm not sure for the Jets that it's about the win total. It's about whether or not they look like a competitive NFL product.
Yes.
Are they like, if the Jets go out and only win 6 games this season, but in their 11 losses, 7 or 8 of them, they lose, you know, 31-27, and they've got the ball in the fourth quarter with a chance, and they've got a rookie quarterback, and all right, he throws a pick, and that's part of the learning curve, and okay, I would get that. Watching them lose last year, where it felt like every loss up until they finally won a game outside of the Raider debacle was, you know, it felt like week after week it was 20-3, right? Like non-competitive from the start. So I don't know if putting a win-loss total on a season where a team won 2 games last year,
well, that was kind
is
of...
in any way. And I'm wondering from a Giants standpoint, Giants certainly weren't a 2-win team last year. They were a lot more competitive than that. But do you feel like it is a win-loss total argument with the Giants? Or do you feel like it's an eye test argument with them?
No, I think it's definitely a win-loss for the Giants. I think it's different for the Jets because obviously there's so many pieces that still need to be developed. Obviously, we talked about the defense having a little more depth and kind of being a bright spot on that team. But I think you need to see the Giants win because of the division they're in too, right? Like,
yep,
you need to see them kind of take that step forward where they're leading in the division because they have the – I think they have enough to do that. But it's also how much do you trust, like I mentioned before, Daniel Jones moving forward, and how much do you need to see out of him in high pressure situations where you say, you know what, we're in the right place with him, we can get it done. And Saquon, you know, I mean, a running back coming off of ACL, that's tough. But you know, he's worked his tail off. He looks great by all the pitches. He looks like he could be a bodybuilder. He's enormous. But they're going to obviously treat him with kid gloves. But I expect him to have another big season.
Yeah, I think the Giants in a 17-game season need to win more than 7.
You know, yeah.
To me, I think you're right. Yeah. I think their success or failure can probably be put more into the actual win-loss total than the Jets. I think the Jets coming off a 2-win season with a rookie quarterback starting over there again, didn't address corner, didn't address tight end. They still have some – I mean, there's a reason Joe Douglas asked for a 6-year contract. I think he knew
right.
what he was
time.
Looking at. Yeah, I think he was honest with ownership.
Yep.
Said, look, you have a very untalented football team here. And my career – I'll probably get one chance to be the architect of an NFL team. You have to give me the time to do it. I think it's a good sign that ownership was honest with itself. And Woody and Christopher Johnson, I think, with, you know, Joe Douglas, probably said, all right, you know what, that's fair. You're right. This is an untalented roster. It's going to take more than one free agent class or one draft class or two classes to build this. And you saw that with the Jamal Adams trade, right? Going out and draft, you know, getting rid of your best player to add first-round draft choices to 2 future years told you from the jump that they understood we have an untalented team and we need to address this through the draft. We need to give the general manager time to do that. So the Jets just being more competitive this year, maybe they win 6, but in a bunch of their losses, they just look like a competent football team. The Giants, I think, need more than that. I think the Giants need to be an 8 or 9 win team this year and maybe be playing some games that matter after Thanksgiving to say, all right, they took a step.
Well, I think you hit it right on the head, too, Bob, when you talk about being competitive. I think if you're the Jets right now, walking into Sundays, you want to seem like a team that's the arrow's going up. The worst thing you want to see is this team look like they have no business being on the field, in which we've seen in the past, right? We've seen this team roll out on Sundays and look like, man, who? This is a bunch of patchwork worth of guys who are absolutely abysmal. The Jets with Zach Wilson, Vera Tucker, Becton, Elijah Moore, they look like they have to look like a team that the arrow is going up, because the Jets fans have been through enough, right? They've been through enough to endure another team that's trying to figure itself out. What they can endure is a team that looks like they have no business being on the field. That can happen. And so I applaud Joe Douglas. It looks like he's finally answered the bell. He's been able to rebuild from within. And hopefully this kid, Zach Wilson, he can get it done in the big city.
Well, yeah, we talked about it earlier. I mean, going back to, and I'm not just saying this because I'm hosting the show with you, offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
It matters. It matters tremendously. And for the better part of a decade, the Jets didn't really do much in terms of high-level draft capital on their offensive line. When was the last time the team was really, really good? How about we go back to, when they spent two first-round draft choices on a center and a left tackle
yep.
that became, you know, the
future Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I mean, two guys that are Ring of Honor players
yep.
that were the pillars of their offensive line for 10 years. And for 10 years, and you were a part of that, the offensive line at least gave them, if not controlling the game, a chance to win every single Sunday.
You said,
and they haven't had that in a long time.
You said it earlier, a puncher's chance. That's all you want out of a team. You know what I mean? Especially a team that's trying to figure out who they are and what they need to become. You want to at least have a shot. When you roll out there and you look at your ball club from defense to offense to special teams, and you're like, man, we don't have a shot. That's a dark feeling walking
yes.
in. You know, that's just, and Bob, you covered these games. I know there's plenty of times when you got in that booth like, oh, this is going to be ugly. Let's just hopefully, you know, at least the coach makes it out the stadium.
And that's why fans keep asking me about Zach Wilson. And you're cautiously optimistic. Everything that you see is screams franchise quarterback,
yep.
right? Like, he's got this air about him where when you watch him in college, it looks like the guy that's, you know, I got this. Right? He's just got that I got this quality about him, and I think that will serve him really well in New York. But how many other guys have we seen come into that spot and all of a sudden 3 or 4 years later, I mean, there was nobody that I was more confident in than Sam Darnold. I think still Sam Darnold is going to go to Carolina and have a good career.
Yeah.
I really do. They have to support, and the thing that I think is encouraging is it looks like they've got a general manager that understands he needs support. He needs skill talent. He needs guys to block for him. He can't do this by himself. Having said that, though, cautiously optimistic, emphasis on cautiously until you see him go out there and do it.
Watching Sam Darnold and Robbie Anderson light it up still stings. I don't if you're a Jets fan. It still is like, ugh, what could have been. But it's football, man.
Yep. Hey, real quick, let's squeeze in Simon in New Haven, who wants to give us a call here on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Simon.
Hey, how are you? Good morning. I wanted to make some comments about the Yankees.
Yep.
Sure.
We got to get rid of Boone. This is ridiculous. And I mean, he's just like Girardi, excuse after excuse. I mean, he treats these pitchers shamefully. I mean, it's like a conspiracy. These hitters don't want to score runs for the pitchers. I mean, and Cashman, we got to get rid of him too. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, thanks for the call. Will there be a clean house at the end of this season? I guess it's possible. Again, to me, if you let Aaron Boone go, you're also going to follow that up with changing the roster. You know, and I think you will admit through your other moves that it's not all Aaron Boone's fault.
No. I mean, you said it earlier. This is bigger than him, right?
Yes.
I mean, there were things that took place that he really had no control of, and now he's just forced to be a sacrificial lamb.
But not helping himself with the eighth inning that he had yesterday.
Tough.
All right. DCR with the day off. DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Bob Schuh and Willie Colon filling in. And I think it's time for three stars with Santiago. He gets a chance to join us now and tell us, you know, where we shined earlier today. Or maybe neither of us deserve to be any of the three stars. Maybe it's just, you know, everybody but us.
Right.
Today's three stars of DCR.
Well, welcome, boys. And first, I got to tell you that Three Stars is brought to you by 7-Eleven. With that, we'll get it out of the way. I don't necessarily have to give it to one of you two or two of you or whichever you like, but something that, you know, generated a positive or negative reaction today. So with that being said,
number three,
I'm going to start with Aaron Boone. Aaron, how do the Yankees bounce back from this disaster in Boston?
Like they have all year. These guys have handled and dealt with adversity. You know, we've dealt with it in this series and bounced back, and I know we'll do it again.
I mean, I don't know how many times you can say, boy, we just had our worst loss of the season. This is like third, fourth time. And I think I saw it was like stat, like they had a four-run lead in the eighth inning three times and lost three times. And this was,
yep,
this was the first time they've done it since like 1993. Doesn't make you feel good.
No.
On that note,
number two.
Number two is going to go to the optimistic Yankee fan like Nick in Fresh Meadows, who called earlier. And I appreciate his optimism because he still believes that somehow they're going to turn it around and they'll be able to make some noise against Tampa Bay. I think he said that they can trade Florio for something even better than him. I don't know what's out there. I don't know what those options are. But listen, I appreciate the optimism. And I am also a Yankee fan, so let me preface that by saying this. I want the team to do well, but you've got a lot more faith than I do. And I think I found who the mark is. Keep coming to the ballpark. Keep being supportive.
Yeah.
And everything's
all
good.
It's all about a little spirit. You need a little spunk.
I appreciate it.
Number one.
Number one's going to go to Willie Colon. I appreciate you coming
nice.
In and doing the show today.
Oh,
nice.
I appreciate
you getting up early. I appreciate you coming into the building because that's a lot more than most guys have been doing. Bob, I appreciate him. He's doing the show from home. But,
yeah.
Willie, I especially appreciate you bringing up your internal clock, getting you ready for training camp. I know that you appreciate not having to actually go to training camp at this point in your career. You'd probably be on the pup list with your thumb in the situation being what it is, but... Listen, like I said, man, I appreciate you coming in. We appreciate you, and hopefully we can see you again. That's 3 Stars of the Day brought to you by 7-Eleven. At 7-Eleven, use the 7NOW app for free delivery with code FREENOW. 7-Eleven, take it to 11. Bob.
All right, and real quick, we got about 30 seconds left. You guys got 10 seconds to kind of explore. What the hell is Rule 76, by the way? Like, I know those guys say that at the end of the show. I don't know what it means.
Never seen Wedding Crashers.
No, I'm not a Wedding Crashers guy.
Oh, Bob.
All right, well, then Willie knows.
Well, it's a classic line, Rule 76, yeah.
Okay. You can go ahead and say it.
Nah, I let you. I'm good.
Was it play like a champion or something?
Something like that.
Isn't that a Notre Dame thing?
No excuses. Play like a champion.
Yeah, right. I mean, because I went to BC, so if it had anything to do with Notre Dame, I'm not a fan.
Oh, still
right,
sour.
I'm back tomorrow with Canny, so he'll have his way of signing off tomorrow. But it's been a lot of fun. Bob Schuster, Willie Colon, sitting in for DCR. See you tomorrow morning, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.